Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSURP show. Now, let's get into the show. I love our boy Richard Padilla in the chat, dude. He's Richard from San Diego, went to Chula Vista High School. He's a diehard Chargers fan, stayed a Chargers fan. He will defend his Chargers. I appreciate him listening to our show every day. Because he knows, I know he knows, that if they were still here, Frank, if they were still the San Diego Chargers here, our shows on Monday would be fire. Oh, they'd be fire. They would be so fire. Justin Herbert would not be my favorite player. I do love me some Justin Herbert. But I'm a defensive guy at heart. I can't have a quarterback be my favorite player. Can't have it.
I was a huge fan of Justin Herbert until he made one fatal decision.
What was that?
Brother cut his hair.
True.
That was the worst thing he could have done, was cut his hair.
Yeah, by the way, also, Richard, there's like four TCU kids on that team. Probably one of those guys would probably be my favorite. I will not stand for Quentin Johnston slander, by the way. I will not stand for it. I will not stand for it. Or my guy Darius Davis. I think they got another try. They had a couple other guys before. Rams have a guy that I went to. Rams have Joseph Noteboom, who I had a sales class with at TCU. Good stuff. All right. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Weighing in on some of the stuff in the Padres. All right. Here's the deal with the entire, like, we talked about this a little bit off air. Again, this is just based on the reporting that we've seen from Dennis Lynn. And Ken Rosenthal, they mentioned, like, you know, AJ Preller might have an opportunity to leave and go somewhere on his own. The Padres would have to grant permission in order for him to do that. Right now, the only job available for something that is currently his job would be the Colorado Rockies. Now, that being said, what if Brian Cashman got let go? Do we think Brian Cashman's going to get let go? Do we think the Yankees would potentially hire AJ Preller? I find it interesting. He is from New York. I do think that's something to keep an eye on. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. David Vu, were you there when D Winters was there? No, I left before. I graduated in 2017. D Winters was just on the team like 2 years ago. D Winters doing well in San Francisco. Go Frogs. All right. Big game. Hey, big game against David Vu's Baylor Bears this weekend. Not 9 in the morning. Purple chrome helmets are back, Frank. That's what it was.
I saw that.
That's what it was. Out on the mouse even more now. Especially since my friend was like, those are the helmets we're missing? I said, yes. Those are the helmets we're missing. Have to watch it on TV instead. R.I.P. All right, let's get to the phones. Kevin and Chula Vista start things off as the leadoff hitter of the Brayden Suprenant Show. What's going on, Kevin?
Yeah, hey, happy Friday to you, Brayden, and thanks again for a few moments here. You know, this whole dispute, and that's what it is between, you know, AJ and Eric Rubner, it's gone on for a while. I think we've all heard this and known this. You know, looking at this just from the bean counter point of view, if you give me a moment here, know, Eric Rubner, he sees all of the money coming in and he sees all of the money going out. That's what the CEO is responsible for, obviously. So when he looks at the bottom line, and, you know, it's not just the contracts that he has to deal with. He's got to deal with the total expenses of the team. He's got investors that are owed money as well. And so I'm sure when he looks back at AJ and says, hey, you know, look, I've got a finite resource here. I don't have much of a television contract anymore. So, you know, we're going to have to do things differently, much differently. And I think that the discussions that they've had around the table would be most fascinating, because that's where this franchise is at this point. This is not, in my opinion, I've done a lot of studying on this franchise. They are not a deep pockets franchise. And so it's difficult for these two guys to exist, because you've got AJ, who is just basically, you know, the Clint Eastwood of the major league presidents of operations, whatever you want to call them. And that's got to be a difficult relationship to handle day in and day out. And I'm sure that there's a lot of interesting discussions about why players are getting dumped out, how much dead money that this team has faced. The bigger problem, and I'll end up with this, I think if I'm the CEO and I'm looking at the long-term contract obligations that they've gotten themselves into, and this comes from AJ and Peter in some respects now, that's got to be frightening to any CEO. And so I think that's where all of this is coming from.
Well, I do believe that, Kevin. And I bet you there's a lot of situations in which the CEO and the president of baseball are in disagreements because their jobs are naturally kind of opposite, right? The general manager and president of baseball job is the dreamer job of trying to find all these different ways to bring in players, and like are constantly asking for more money. The CEO is in charge of money. He's got to make sure that the franchise is being run and it can sustain the spending. And if both of them are trying to do their job to the best ability, there's going to be some rift. 833-288-9973, 833-288-9973. Jamie in San Ysidro, what's going on, man?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
So I heard in both of these instances there was micromanaging going on. So when A.J. Preller micromanages Mike Shildt or anybody else, when you hire these people, you have to hire them and trust them. If you're going to micromanage them, that's going to cause a poor work environment. Same with Shilty. Shilty came in, he had a lot of people already there he couldn't replace. He kept a lot of people, and either you keep them and trust them, or you have to get somebody else in there. So if you're micromanaging and complaining or stepping in and doing things instead of what they're doing, that's going to cause problems. And I don't know if that's exactly the case with Preller, but I could definitely see it being an issue with Shilty and Preller if that's what they're really doing.
I could see it too. I mean, I just the jobs in general are kind of conflicting jobs. You got a job that's supposed to get big talent and trying to make the Padres as best as possible. And what hampers that job? Money. Meanwhile, you got another job that is in charge of trying to make as most money as possible. And you know what gets in the way of that? Expenses. And what's the most expensive thing for Major League Baseball teams? Their roster. Their roster is the most expensive. So it's only natural that, you know, there's got to be a little bit of a rift between these two. But they, I think, have done an impeccable job of overcoming said potential rift. And I don't think any of it's personal. I think it's mostly, like, just has to do with the jobs that they have to complete. And it gets frustrating when the other is preventing you from doing said job, because their job is basically trying to prevent you from doing your job. And I think both Eric Grubner and AJ Preller have done their job. Eric Grubner's gotten the ballpark and the money coming in, and AJ Preller has invested the money that he has gotten into a competitive team. But I think that rift, Frank, is almost natural with the job descriptions of both jobs in the front office.
Oh, absolutely. And there was a thing that you had sent me, I believe it was either last night or this morning, that shows how much money is coming into these teams, and I think it kind of parlays in nicely into this conversation. The Padres' revenue last year was $432 million with a payroll of $275 million. So they're making...
Oh, that estimation graphic yes. by Forbes that they put out?
Yes. So they are making a nice little profit on what they're doing. But yes, there is that natural rift between the two job titles, and how you overcome that is two people who put their egos aside that are both going for the same goal, sitting together and saying, listen, these are the hurdles that I have to deal with that I'm going to be passing through. This is what I need out of you to get over these hurdles. Let's have a conversation on how to do that the best we can together. That's how you overcome a rift like that. But again, when egos get in the way, things happen. And that's with any team. That's not just here.
I look at that graphic, though, and it is sorted based on what percentage of your revenue you're putting into your payroll.
Yes.
The Padres they're the sixth highest spender in Major League Baseball in terms of percentage of how much they make into their payroll. They are committing to trying to win in terms of their revenue. So again, and as argument, revenue is not profit. There is a difference.
Rounding up 64% of their, the number 63.8, but
revenue is what, for all the at least if I can remember correctly from my accounting class, revenue is the money you bring in.
Yes.
Before expenses.
Yes.
So that's not including the expenses. So they're spending, this is, what's it say at the bottom of this graphic? It says 2024 revenues are calculated by Forbes. Okay, it's based on like spot track and everything like that. And again, they don't have their books open, so we don't know this for a fact. But according to the report from Forbes, the revenue that they have coming in before expenses, $432 million. They have spent $275 million on their payroll plus taxes,
and
which is 64% of their revenue. Again, this is before expenses, which means this is not profit.
Plus another $10 million luxury cap hit.
That's part of the...
Oh, it's already in it? Okay.
Yes. They're spending... Their payroll is $265, and then the $10 million makes it $275. Correct. Okay. So, again, this is before their expenses. That's just revenue. It's not profit. So think about all the expenses the Padres have to make. You don't know what their profit margins are. But from that, if they're going to spend 64% of their revenue, 64% of that in expenses is going to the players on the field. To be honest with you, as much as we like to see them spend more money, how much more do you want the Padres to spend on their payroll? If they're top 10 in payroll, or at least top 10 in percentage of what they're getting... To me, I think that's fair from the organization. I think that's more than fair.
To put that into perspective, the Mets are the number one team on that list. 90% of their revenue is going to payroll. 90%.
The bottom teams in this list are the biggest problems and abusers, right?
Yes, 100%.
The Miami Marlins, according to this list, again, the books are not open, but this is revenue before expenses for the Miami Marlins. They are the worst at putting the money from revenue into their team. The Miami Marlins have only spent 27% of their revenue on their roster. They collected in revenue $317 million. They've spent $86 million on their payroll, including taxes. But the Mets... And the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays, and the Phillies, and the Diamondbacks, and the Padres, the Rangers, the Angels, the Royals, and the Baltimore Orioles have spent, percentage-wise of their revenue, those are the top 10 teams that have spent the most of their revenue on their players. I mean, you could say what you want about the New York Yankees. New York Yankees spend money, right, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
New York Yankees make $728. They don't make, but they've brought in $728 million in revenue, and they spent $362 million on their payroll, just under 50%. So
noted poverty franchise, the New York Yankees.
Yeah, Mets put their money into their team. They just
put it in all the wrong players.
Put in the wrong players. That's another battle that you have to deal with. And while Frank cries in his beer, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll kind of look at this because it impacts the NLCS.
It's an Arnold Palmer, but close.
Crying in your beer sounds funnier. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's talk about this NLCS. It's a 3-0 lead for the Dodgers. Dodgers winning in four games with their payroll. This is a major black eye on Major League Baseball. But it's not really the Dodgers' fault. Not when you look at this particular sheet. We'll talk about it when we come back. Let's
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the NLCS for a second. By the way, what a great crowd yesterday for the NLCS, Frank, huh? Boo.
About
terrible.
That.
See. There's nobody there. I mean, there's people there, but it's just so many empty seats. Honestly, I can't even, like, I love making fun of Dodger fans. I heard Ben and Woods talking about today. They have, like, no sense of humor. Just zero sense of humor. Dodger fans. They get so, like, incensed all the time. And they always have to defend all of their actions because they know deep down that, like, basically what they're doing is ridiculous. But I have to say, what time did that game start yesterday officially? Was that a 2 o'clock start? Or a 3 o'clock start?
Probably. I mean, but here's the thing, though. You're kind of stuck because I know what you're going to say as far as the West Coast game starting early. You got both of your championship series games on the West Coast. So one of them is going to have to eat it and play early.
Yeah, that's the game that's in Seattle, in my opinion.
Which is further west than Los Angeles?
Yeah, but they don't have the nasty traffic that LA's got. What time did that game start yesterday? 3 o'clock?
Hold on. Let me
look at the box score. What time was first pitch? Does it even show it on here? Game time was 2:48. That's what it says.
That's also just such a stupid time.
What are we doing, Major League Baseball? Like, hey, let me ask you this. Like, baseball, like, is it better? And I guess, like, you don't want everybody to have a day off, right? Like, is it better for baseball to have a doubleheader where games are at 2:40 and 5:30 on the West Coast when you have to, like, finagle the deal like this? Or is it better for them to just, like, go American League, National League, American League, National League, and have it at prime time every single time? I mean, you had the National League Championship Series on yesterday at 2:48 in the afternoon on the West Coast on a Thursday. Why? I get it. You can't stagger two games on the West Coast. That doesn't really help out the East Coast in terms of watching. But, like, how many people were tuned into Milwaukee and L.A. in New York last night?
Not many. Because baseball's
probably
such
not.
No, because baseball's such a regional game. It doesn't really matter who you throw if you're not in the region, unless you're a baseball psycho or you do it for work like we do. You're not watching these games. Once their team is done, it's over. No one cares about baseball. There is not a soul in New York who doesn't have a mental issue or is doing it for money that is watching baseball right now.
Dodgers and Brewers, right? I mean, you have to be like a super diehard fan or like we are and get paid to talk about baseball on a baseball team's flagship station when it comes to playoff teams, when your team's out. No. I haven't paid too much attention to the American League Championship Series. I mean, I'm watching the highlights, but there's football on. Like, it's football season now. It's been football season for me in terms of, like, I'm coaching football. I'm watching college games on Saturday. I'm watching NFL games on Sunday. And if we got Steelers-Bengals or Toronto and Seattle, I was like, hey, look, Toronto-Seattle's on. That's kind of cool. I'm watching football. I think our market's a little bit unique because we don't have a football team anymore. But I'm going to tell you right now, like, most people around the country are watching football.
Absolutely.
Then you got to get guys like Augie in the chat, who's a big NHL guy. Like, people are watching hockey now. And I Ducks played last night. They lost. But I'd be more inclined to watch the Ducks last night than watch Toronto and Seattle. I mean, I want Seattle to win the World Series.
Islanders played last night.
How about that?
They said it couldn't be done. They've won a game.
Was that their first win of the year?
It was. They are 1-3-0 now.
I guess that's worse than the Rangers.
The last team in the NHL to score a point.
That is worse than the Rangers. The New York Rangers were the last team. Like, have they still scored a goal at home?
They have not scored a goal at the Garden as of yet. No.
But let's think about it from his perspective. Like, I got, you know, San Diego. We got a lot of stuff to do. And last night, I went and coached football, which is, you know, another job of mine. It's a hobby as well that I like to do. And then after that, we did the cocktail thing for like 3 hours. I decided to do that instead of make time out of my day to watch the playoff baseball games. I just, the attendance at that game, it's like, I can't believe the NLCS is at 2:38 in the afternoon. And guess what? Like, if the Padres were here, right? If the Padres had made it this far and they were playing games on the West Coast, they'd be getting a 2:38 first pitch, 2:48 first pitch, whatever it is. Even here, it's like 2:40 on a Wednesday. I understand it's the NLCS, but like, you're still asking a lot of people to do some crazy moves to get to that game. It just doesn't make a lot of sense for Major League Baseball on that particular case. Now, from the other perspective, right? And then talking about the Dodgers in general. Like, I don't want them to win. But if they win, I mean, we saw the Jeff Passan article earlier this week about how it's going to shift everything. That's going to happen anyway with this new labor agreement that's going to happen at the end of 2026. But I don't know how anybody can tell me that one team spending more money than everybody else because they have the means to spend more money than everybody else is good for the sport. How can you tell me that's good for the sport? And the only people that say it's good for the sport are the writers, who always say everything's good for the sport, and Dodger fans. The Dodgers, like, day four, their fourth best option for a starting pitcher is the guy that is the best baseball player of his generation in Shohei Ohtani. Like, are you kidding me? I'm a firm believer that everybody should have a hard salary cap like the National Football League. But I go back to that graphic that I saw earlier this week. It's circling around social media. I said it to Frank. But to me, it's like, I hate hearing the whole, like, anybody could do what the Dodgers did. No, they can't. They can't do that. The Dodgers' revenue of $752 million is, like, number one in baseball by a lot. Not everybody can do what they do. In fact, their payroll and luxury tax and their taxes equal $549 million. $549 million. Let me ask you this question, Frank. If you're a team that makes $432 million in revenue, can you spend $549 million on player salaries? Is that possible to do?
Yeah.
You could do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. If you're the Toronto Blue Jays and make $387 million in revenue, mm-hmm. can you spend $549 million on your payroll?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess you can.
If 13 times 7 could be 28, yes, absolutely.
Well, you know what? Like, you know what? It's the teams like Chicago and Miami. You know, like the White Sox and the Marlins and the Pirates, like they make money and they don't spend it. If the Miami Marlins make $317 million in revenue, can they spend $549 on player salaries?
$549? Yes. $549 million. Yes, also.
They can do that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all these teams should just take out loans then.
That, yeah.
I mean, think about that. That is the payroll plus the tax. That's not even including all of the money that is deferred with the Los Angeles. And Dodger fans all the time are like, well, actually, their payroll is actually $399 million. They have to pay $150 million in taxes. By the way, nobody's mentioned this on our shows. Do you understand, like, and we noticed this before, like, when they were making, do you money that you pay in the taxes, Frank? Right? So the Dodgers owe $150 million in taxes. Do you know that if you make stadium upgrades to your ballpark, that is taken out of the taxes? Did you know that?
No, I did not.
That happened last year. We talked about it in this midday slot last year. Did you notice all the upgrades the Dodgers made last offseason?
Yeah.
Remember, they made all these upgrades with the All-Star break. And all we're just upgrading our ballpark. So, yeah, everybody's like, well, they're doing it in the revenue sharing. Well, no, they're not. If you get taxed $150 million for the luxury tax, and you spend $150 million on stadium upgrades, guess what you owe to the pot, Frank?
Nothing.
You owe nothing. You owe nothing. So instead of paying the $150 to the pot with everybody else as an incentive for teams to upgrade their facilities because there's a lot of Dean Spanoses of the world that don't like to spend money on anything, the Dodgers found another loophole. And look, they're not cheating. It's all part of the rules. My argument is like the rules need to change. I mean, they're the only sport in professional athletics in the United States that doesn't have some sort of salary cap. And the Dodgers exposed it in that, and they now have exposed it in massive upgrades to their stadium. And I don't know how much the upgrades cost, but I tell you what, I bet you they're going to continue to make upgrades because nobody gets any of their cash. They have all this money, deferred money. That's not even counted in this deal. So anytime some moron tells me that anybody can do this, mathematically, they physically can't. The only team that could do what the Dodgers are doing that are not doing it are the New York Yankees. If anybody that's a fan base should be upset that their team is not spending money, it's the New York Yankees. The Yankees, $728 million in revenue, which again, not profit. They still have expenses, and they're spending $362 million of those dollars on their payroll. They have $310 on the payroll and $52 million in luxury tax. They spend 49.7% of their payroll of their revenue on their payroll. Mets spend money. They spent almost all of the revenue money. Let me ask, Frank, can the New York Mets, who make $444 million in revenue, spend $549 million in payroll?
Yes, because their owner is the richest owner in baseball.
But he's already doing that. He's just writing checks. Unfortunately, for Cohen, over there in New York, he's just giving them to the wrong people. He's trying. He's trying to do what the Dodgers are doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Out of everything I just said, Frank, you looked at that list. I know you're busy with working on other stuff. You look at that list. Is there anybody on that list, aside from you being sarcastic, anybody on that list that is spending the money that the Dodgers are spending because they can do the same thing? Anybody can do it, right? Mm-hmm. How many of the teams on that list can do what the Dodgers are doing, in which they are spending $549 million on payroll with taxes?
The Yankees.
Go through it.
That's literally it. It's the Yankees. The Yankees.
The Astros can't do it.
The Phillies are close. The Braves, honestly, are close. The Braves made $510 million in revenue last year.
There is only one other team that can do it. There's two, actually, and they're not even doing it.
And the Red Sox.
And the Cubs. The Red Sox. These are the teams that have the revenue. Again, this is not profit. This is revenue, which is different. Profit is what you make after you take the expenses out. This is just revenue. Teams that have the revenue that are more than what the Dodgers have had to pay. And this is the thing. You can't just take out the taxes, because if you spend what the Dodgers are spending on payroll, you have to pay taxes. These are the clubs that in revenue made more, or should I say have more, than what the Dodgers paid on their payroll plus taxes. The Dodgers at 752. We're looking for anything over 549. It's the Dodgers. It's the Yankees. The Braves are close, but not there. It's the Red Sox. It's the Cubs. So when stupid Dodger fans and bloggers and reporters and people that just want to say how great it is that the Dodgers spend money and say anybody could do this, there are only four teams. Four. There are four teams that actually have the money and the funds to physically do what the Dodgers are doing. Now, none of these are open books. These are estimates from Forbes in terms of revenue and how much money they're spending. This is kind of a gross estimate. But based on those numbers, for everybody that says anybody could do this, only four teams can. And one of them's trying really hard, and it's the New York Mets. And they still can't do what the Dodgers do. They don't make enough money. The Dodgers' revenue, $752 million. The Mets' revenue, $444. I don't know how anybody can look at this and be like, this is like fair from top to bottom, and teams just need to start spending money. Because here's the deal. Let's just say the Marlins and the A's and the Rays and the Pirates and the Brewers and all these teams at the bottom of the list. And I mean, the Red Sox and the Cubs should be getting some flack right now because they make a ton of money and they ain't spending on their roster. But let's list all those teams. Everybody wants to blame, right? Because their owners are greedy and they don't spend any money. Even if they did, they still can't do what the Dodgers do. They can't do it. They can't do it. And the Dodgers have spent all this money and have gotten all these deferments. Otherwise, it would look even worse. It would look even worse. Yes, teams can spend the same percentage as Los Angeles of their revenue on their payroll. Absolutely. In fact, the Mets spend more of the revenue on their payroll, but that doesn't mean they could still go get the same players. Because then the Dodgers just add more money to it. Add more money to it. Add more money to it. This is why the lockout is going to take a long time, because a lot of teams are tired of watching this. I mean, you're talking about a team that made $752 million in revenue is going against a Brewers team that's made $335 million in revenue. And the Brewers are one of those teams that probably should be spending more money on their team, because they're only spending 40% of their revenue on payroll. But the Brewers are spending $137 million on the roster, and the Dodgers are spending $549 million on the roster. And the Brewers are down 3-0 right now. Nobody can get the TV revenue that the Dodgers do. Nobody could get the side endorsement bets that all these players get as well, like the Dodgers can. They can afford to give Shohei Ohtani whatever he wants. And Ohtani, being a guy that wants to win really bad, deferring all this money, they were never going to convince him that at any other place. He could do it in L.A. Can't do it anywhere else. TV revenue is a problem. Salary cap, not having one is a problem. Salary floor, not having one is a problem. I'm an advocate for every league to have a hard salary cap like the NFL. Want to know why? Because the NFL, it is competitive, and everybody's got a chance. In the Major League Baseball, there's like six teams that got a shot. I don't know why you wouldn't think that more competitive baseball would be better for your product, and instead having one or two dominant teams is. That has never made sense to me. It will never make sense to me. And until baseball fixes that problem, they're just going to keep continuing to lose fans because it's relatively almost unimportant to watch. Why do I even watch these games? I think a lot of people ask. Unless you're just really into baseball like Frank and I. 833-288-9973, 833-288-9973. When we come back, we'll get to the sports thread, what's going on throughout the sports world, and later on in the 1 o'clock hour, it's time to talk NFL football with the NFL whip around in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll get to the NFL whip around, talk about Thursday night's game, getting some high school football as well. This is the Braden Surprenant Show, San Diego's number sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
45. You know what that means, Frank?
15 minutes to lunch.
Yes. You know what also that means, Frank?
Get a nap?
I'm going to throw something at you. It's time for the sports thread.
Oh, is it now?
You know that group chat? The one that's always blowing up with the biggest sports takes, debates, and breaking news?
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me!
Yeah, we've got that too. Welcome to the Sports Thread, where we break down the top five stories in sports, just like you would with your crew.
Oh, no! Disaster!
No filters, no silence, just real talk.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Stop sitting on the sidelines. QC Kinetics gets you back in the game without surgery. To learn how, visit QCKinetics.com.
Before you start, I have an extra one. Bonus. Just came down 2 hours ago. Aztec Sports.
All right.
Blenders. Chase Fisher. Actually, is it Blenders? Let's see. Hang on a second. I think, is Chase Fisher the Blenders guy? I thought he was. Yeah, he is.
I don't know what you're on about.
Chase Fisher. Who was the blender? The guy that made Blenders, the glasses?
Okay.
He has committed $5 million to Aztec's NIL.
Bingo.
Over the next 5 years. Biggest NIL commitment in San Diego State history. What makes this moment special isn't the size of the gift, it's the story behind it. Every dollar represents lessons, losses, and late nights that started right here I came to San Diego State like a lot of kids, chasing a dream and trying to find my place. This school tested me, shaped me, and prepared me for everything that came next. Now I'm coming back to give back, not to erase the past, but to build the future. This is for the athletes, for the students, for the city that raised me. The game just changed. Go Aztecs, baby.
There you go.
That's a big gift. This is what San Diego State has missed. He goes on to say more things, so, but he's going to be giving a $5 million check over the next 5 years, spread over the next 5 years, to Aztec Athletics, which is great news for San Diego State.
Yes, absolutely.
In helping football and basketball and everything in between.
Very,
so good
very
to hear.
Good.
And San Diego State needs more of those. They have a lot of alumni that have done some very incredible things and have accomplished a lot of things in the business world and have made a lot of money. Big congratulations to San Diego State, as well as Chase Fisher for donating back to his alma mater.
100%. What's one of the sayings that that come about when you're in business and in life in general? When one door closes, another one opens.
That is right? Correct.
That's where we're starting with this one.
Number one.
James Franklin's door closed at Penn State. However, Kurt Cignetti's door opened. Indiana has reached a new 8-year contract with Kurt Cignetti that will make him one of the highest paid football coaches in FBS history, with an annual average salary of about $11.6 million. Cignetti guided the Hoosiers to an 11-2 record and surpassing college football playoff appearances and surprising college football appearance in his first season last year with the school. This season, the number 3 Hoosiers are 6-0 heading into Sunday's game against Michigan State. In a video posted to Indiana's social media account, Cignetti said, quote, "I couldn't be more proud to be a Hoosier, and I plan on retiring as a Hoosier. The way that this state has embraced us and our success in football means more to me than anything else." We talked about this a little bit off air yesterday. Do you think Penn State's firing of James Franklin kind of urged Indiana to sign Kurt Cignetti long-term and lock him up?
Absolutely. That's 100% what they did. They knew that a bunch of high-profile jobs were about to be open or already open. They saw the rumors of Kurt Cignetti potentially being a candidate, and they were like, we got to get this thing done as quickly as possible. I wouldn't be surprised if Cignetti's agent immediately called Indiana, like, hey, man, he's going to leave unless you give him an extension. The best news for coaches that are currently doing a good job, other coaches at more desirable locations getting fired, and you get a big pay raise. That's what happens. I would be surprised if Marcus Freeman gets a contract extension. I would be honest with you.
He's been linked to the Penn State job as well.
Anybody linked to the Penn State job, if the school that they're currently are at doesn't want to lose them, hey, and they don't have to do anything. Good for Kurt Cignetti. Indiana had to do it. They had to do it if they want to keep him. Now, $93 million guaranteed if he gets fired without cause. Wow, what a sick deal that is. $93 million. It's just insane amount of money when you get fired. In college football.
Coming off of the that big win against Oregon as well, too. That really helped move this along, I think, as well as Franklin's firing at Penn State.
Number two.
Micah Parsons hates the tush push and thinks offensive players get away with holding far too often, and had to change his face mask during the last game because he got poked in the eye and popped a blood vessel on a play that did not draw a penalty. And the Green Bay Packers defensive end said that it all knowing that it could come back to haunt him, both when his team plays the Eagles next month and when the NFL hears his comments. Though Parsons said Thursday that he doesn't think the NFL will do anything about the situation, Packers coach Matt LaFleur said that he plans to at least talk to the officials before Sunday's game at Arizona about what he perceived as missing holding calls. This is just another player, defensive player, coming out against the tush push and bringing receipts with him as far as what he had to do to protect himself on that play.
I keep saying it. It's a dangerous play. But you know what? It's a popular play, and people like it, which means the NFL is not going to ban said play. The people don't like big hits across the middle. They thought it was scary. And so, therefore, in public opinion, they got rid of said hit, and they said it was for player safety. This is not about player safety. If they cared about player safety, which I know they don't, they...
Bless you. Bless you. There it is.
Thank you. If they cared about player safety, this play would be out because it is not a safe play. Anybody's like, oh, in rugby, they... Rugby has a bunch of neck injuries. And this isn't rugby. The only reason why this play works for Philly and nobody else is they have the strongest quarterback in the National Football League. Jalen Hurts is the strong. He has the strongest legs out of any quarterback in the NFL. Have you seen that guy do squats and deadlifts? This is why it works for them and it doesn't work for anybody else. Also, the Eagles line up on offsides almost every single time when they line up for this play. I'm sure there's holding. I'm sure there's a lot of other things. They're all in a four-point stance. You can't out-leverage them. It's a very difficult play to stop. But it's also not a safe play. So they're not complaining about it because they can't stop it. It is not safe. I mean, did you see the Chiefs D-line? I mean, they're getting tweaked with their neck and their back, and it's not a safe play.
And for those of you who want to say, oh, well, it's kind of like a rugby scrum. No. In a rugby scrum, everyone gets lined up. Everyone interlocks.
They're all locked together. Yes.
Interlocks, and then they get together before they start pushing. There's no rush into the push the way there is on this play. Everyone is interlocked in a very specific way to try not to hurt each other, unlike the tush push where they just run into each other.
Correct. Number three. Philly does a good job with it because they're on a four-point stance and they're almost low and they're all offsides.
Yeah.
You know who wasn't offsides? Auburn, when they tried to do it. You know who else wasn't offsides? Baltimore, when they tried to do it as well.
This kind of goes with you because it would affect you a little bit. A committee working on behalf of U.S. soccer has recommended that the men's college soccer season switch to a season that stretches across a full academic year beginning in fall of 2026. The recommendation comes after U.S. Soccer tasked the 17-person next-gen college soccer committee with finding solutions to evolve college soccer to, quote, among other things, better prepare players to turn professional and compete at the international level. The committee recommended that more time is needed to evaluate the best future construct of women's college soccer, although the results could be the same recommendations as the men's game. Regardless of how the college game evolves, the committee says its report, which was released on Thursday, that it believes strongly that any of those four proposed options are far superior to the status quo. Do you think the college soccer season needs to be expanded to get players ready for the international game?
Sure. Sounds good.
As a college soccer broadcaster, you would have no qualms about
having more games
the entire year.
No, that's more work for me. That's great. All Sounds right. good.
There you go.
Have them play through the summer.
Sign
it's my
Braden
downtime.
Up. Sign Braden up then.
Noon lunchtime hour, and we'll come back. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Suprenet Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.